Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is your host, Lisa Watson, and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I hope everyone has had a great week so far. And if you are dealing with snow, ice, power outages, all of that, I hope that everything is back on track, although I think it is snowing on the East Coast as we speak. So hopefully, if you are in that weather, you're inside and you're keeping warm. So I have a very special guest this evening. She is a number one New York Times and USA Today, as well as Wall Street Journal best-selling author. She's written The Rosemary Beach, Sea Breeze, Vincent Boys, and Existence series. She never cooks unless baking during the holidays counts. She believes in ghosts and has a habit of asking people if their house is haunted before she goes into it. She drinks afternoon tea because mainly she wants to be British, but she was born in Alabama. And when you ask her how many books she's written, she still has to stop and count. And when she's not locked away writing, she's reading or shopping. She has a major shoe and purse addiction, so we'll get the 411 on that in a little bit. And she likes sneaking off to the movies alone or listening to the drama in her teenagers' lives, all while making mental notes on the good stuff to use later. It is my pleasure to welcome Abby Glines to the show. Hey, Abby.
Hello, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for being on.
You got to giggle out of the ghost thing, but it's true. So.
I believe it.
Yeah, it's a bad habit. It embarrasses my husband.
Oh, does it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Oh, you say, well, you know, some things don't come up in normal conversation, but it's kind of good to get that out of the way early, isn't it?
It is. I want to know before I walk in. I need to be prepared for anything. So.
I was watching an episode, I think, of, I think it was House Hunters, and there was a guy who was very sensitive to spirits, and it ran, I guess, in his family, and he was just letting his wife know, okay, and the realtor know, just so you know, if I get somewhere and I'm not feeling a good vibe about it, I'm not going into the house. And the realtor's like, oh, yeah, okay, of course, of course. And the wife's looking like, oh, here we go. But there was one house where he got to the sidewalk, and he's like, mm-mm, not feeling it. And his wife's like, oh, come on, let's just look in. And the realtor's like, oh, it's beautiful inside. Can't wait to see. He's like, no, no, I'm good. I don't need to go in. And he just kind of turned around and walked back to the car.
Oh, wish I had that sense. I don't have that, but that would be cool to have. I wouldn't have to ask.
Oh, my goodness. Well, speaking of which, I am sure listeners can't wait to learn more about you and your work. So let's start with having you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and also what drew you to writing.
A little bit about myself. Mostly you covered everything in the beginning. There's not anything else interesting other than I'm a mom of two teenagers and one preteen. That keeps my life very entertained. Our house is a hot spot for the teenagers. I don't know why they've chosen me to harass, but they have. So
you're just lucky that way.
From them. I am. I will be writing, and they will bust into my office like they belong here. Lots of them. Lots of them. So I don't know how to make it. I've currently paid for them to go somewhere, so they will be out of this house while I'm on this interview. You think I'm kidding. I'm so very serious.
I believe it.
What drew me into writing, when I was a little girl, I was a liar. I was a very good liar. I was a brilliant liar. My brother was older than me, and at the dinner table, he would always have these fantastic stories about his day at school that were just so interesting. And I wanted to one-up him because I'm very competitive. So I would make up these fantastic stories about my day while everyone sat there and stared at me like I have lost my mind. So my mother finally got me a notebook and explained to me that I had really good stories, but I had to quit telling them as if they were facts, and I needed to write them down like a book. And
right.
I started writing stories. And my mother has boxes of my notebooks full of stories that I wrote growing up. And, of course, they were, you know, the best thing ever written, according to her. But, yeah, so then I got married young and had kids, and that was all put on hold. But that's how my love for writing began.
Wow. You know, that's kind of really neat because, you know, everybody has a different story about how they got started. And, you know, that's kind of cool because your mom was probably sitting there going, yeah, see, because of me.
Exactly.
I channeled her inner creativity.
Yeah, she takes all of the credit for that. So, definitely.
Now, you write in the new adult genre. So, can you tell us a little bit about that and what sparked your interest in writing in that genre?
Well, I'm one of the first people to ever write in the new adult genre. We didn't have a name for the genre when it started. I do believe that I can't actually name a book to you other than Beautiful Disaster by Jamie McGuire that was out when I released my first one. I had written a young adult book, and everyone loved a different character in that book. But he was older. Mm-hmm. He was 19 or 20, and to give him a story like they wanted it, I wanted it to be edgier and to have, you know, 20-year-old issues, not teenage issues.
Right.
But I couldn't because there was nothing for that. So I was bummed about it, put it on the back burner, and I read Beautiful Disaster by Jamie McGuire, and then I contacted her. We are very close now, never had met her then. And I was like, okay, so you did this. What genre is this? Because I want to do this. I want to write a story about college. And she goes, there's not really a genre. I just put it in adult fiction. And I said, okay, well, that's what I'll do. And I wrote the first one, and it really started to snowball my career. And each book after that was a new adult one. And I think I had written my sixth one before there was ever a label on the genre, and they started calling it
something.
Wow. So that's kind of how it started. I fell into it on accident. It wasn't something that I thought, oh, let me try this. It was just, it was really a whole kind of accidental thing. And from then on, I've written New Adult. That was in 2012 or 2011. I cannot remember anymore. I think it was in 2011. I can't remember the dates anymore. But that's all I've written since then. However,
well, that's a good problem to have, though, isn't it, Abby? I've written so many books, I just can't even recall.
I can't remember how many I have, and every time somebody asks me, I'm like, do you want me to count them, or can you give you a ballpark? Because I don't remember anymore. I'm not very good with details. So, that's kind of embarrassing. It makes me seem very airheaded, I guess. But anyway. But I am going to start in the young adult genre this fall. I have a book coming out in the Field Party series called Until Friday Night, and it will be a young adult series. So I'm excited about doing it, changing it a little bit.
Now, you mentioned you have teenagers at home. Do they read your work? And if so, do they offer input into your characters or your storyline, or are they just kind of... You just observe and then just write down a little later and change the names to protect the innocent.
Yeah, well, my son, he doesn't read. He cares about sports and girls, and that's basically what it is. And my daughter cares about her hair and boys and her makeup. So, and it's very embarrassing because as a teenager, I did read. I read religiously. I had a book in my hand all the time. These are not my stories of what happened. They are very involved in their social life. They don't read. My daughter does want to read until Friday night when I'm done. She doesn't want to read it in word format.
Oh, yeah, that was old school.
It was, wasn't it? Dang, I'm telling my age.
and I'm right along with you because I automatically
knew
because I used
what
to
I was
use word perfect. So.
I don't know why that came out. It did, though. She's wanting to wait until there's a galley coffee, but she does want to read that. I don't know if she'll make it through. She's never actually finished a book before, so we'll see. But I mostly listen to them, and I get ideas from them and their friends, but they don't ever read my books, no.
Right. So. And I know my kids are the same way. They used to, my daughter went through a little phase where she didn't really read. Well, they read voraciously when they were younger, and then they stopped. And then my son just, stopped reading, and then, of course, he got into more video games and this and that. And so my daughter is actually, she slowed down, but she's picked back up. So now she reads a lot. And it's so funny because, you know, every time I go to the RT Book Lovers Convention, she's got a list. And she's like, okay, Mom, I want this author. You got to get the autograph book for that one. You got to get it. And I'm like, okay, first of all, I'm trying to explain to her the giant book fair and the fact that there are hundreds of authors in the room. And I'm like, Alyssa, I'm going to be signing my books as well. I can't be running up and down the aisles looking for people. And she's like, do your best. I understand, but I still want them. And so I literally have this list. I'm going to, luckily, they have all the YA authors in the same vicinity, so I can just go down the list and, like, can you sign this for my daughter? And it's like, yeah, I don't care about you, Mom. Just can you get me the YA authors I need? So I'm like, okay.
Yes, yes. They're not impressed with us, are they? They're impressed with others.
Not at all.
Yes, not at all.
Well, before we get wrapped up in hearing more about Abby, I'd like to let listeners know that our live chat session is open. You're welcome to comment or ask questions there, or you can call in at 646-200-4071 if you have a question for Abby. After the live show, I will be posting the podcast and the blog to readersentertainment.com, so a little later this evening, you can go there and check it out. And for those listeners that want to learn more about Abby as we're chatting, you can check out her website at www.abbyglines.com. And that's ABBIGLINES.com. So, Abby, your latest novel in the Rosemary Beach series, When I'm Gone, will be released in April. So can you tell listeners a little bit about the series as the whole? And what brings Texas rancher Mace Colt Manning to Rosemary Beach?
Well, this is going to be, I think, like the 10th book. This is awful that I can't even tell you which book it's going to be in the series. This series started on a fluke. I was in the middle of working on my Seabree series with Simon Pulse, and I needed a break from writing those characters in the Seabree series. I had been on them for 4 books, and I needed to do something different. And I didn't have a clause yet that I couldn't self-publish any of my contracts, which my publishers have since fixed that problem. But at the time, I could still self-publish. So I decided to write a book where everyone hated the main character, the guy, for most of the book. And then I was going to end it tragically, and it was going to be over. I was going to do something completely different. So I wrote a book called Fallen Too Far. And in it, I wanted everyone to hate Rush Finlay for most of the book, and I was just going to end it and break everyone's heart at the end. And I was just going to be badass. This book, right? I probably wasn't supposed to say that on there. I don't know if I was or not. Anyway, I was going to put it out there, and bam, it was going to be, you know, just different for me. Well, no one hated Rush Finlay. They all loved him, and I made the New York Times for the first time in the first book. So I was like, okay, awesome.
He showed you.
Yeah, and then I started getting all of these emails and letters and begging for the second book. Please don't end it that way. So I said, okay, well, Rush Finlay's popular. I'll give him another book. And I did, and it went even higher on the New York Times list.
Wow.
And they kept on and on and on, and I said, okay, one more book and I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. So I gave Rush Finlay a third book, and it went to number one on the New York Times. So Rush Finlay was supposed to be my
Rush
bad boy.
Rush was not going to be denied.
So he proved
me
wrong.
I'm going to show you.
Yes, he definitely proved me wrong. And after that, there were other characters in the series. Woods Carrington, everyone loved him. I wanted his story. Everyone wanted Tripp's story. Everyone wanted Grant's story. So I'm slowly going through all these characters. Some of the couples get 2 books. Some just get 1. Rush is the only one that will get 3. Actually, he ended up with 4 when it was over. So Mace comes along. I don't know how many books we are into the series now. I think we're 9. He comes along, and his sister's book was the last 2 books that came out, and Take a Chance and One More Chance. His sister was the one that marries Grant. And he comes to Rosemary Beach to visit her frequently because she's the only family member other than his mom and stepfather that he actually loves and cares about. And she has a new daughter. So he comes to visit her and his niece regularly. So that's what brings him there. He still goes back to Texas. He doesn't actually move to Rosemary Beach in this book. He's mm-hmm. just coming to visit. And in his visits, he stays in his other sister's house that they have a father that they all share. It's very soap opera-ish. The sister he hates. She hates him, but, you know, their father, Cairo Manning, the rock god, owns the house. So he stays there. And his sister that he hates is out of town, and the housekeeper is unaware anyone is in the house. So she wakes him up with her very loud off-key singing while vacuuming early in the morning after he's gotten in the middle of the night. And he's not very happy.
Oh,
so that's how that story gets started, yeah. So I'm really excited about his story. He's different because in my Raising Your Beach books, my guys have kind of all had the bad angle, bad boy angle. Until they got straightened up, they were. But Mace is never bad. He never makes bad, mean, cruel decisions, selfish decisions. He's not like that. He's been raised very differently from these other guys who had the posh, spoiled life. Mace didn't. So his mother's raised him better. And it's he's a different guy for me for the Rosemary Beach series. And I'm excited about everybody reading him.
Nice. Now, you also have a movie coming out in 2016, While It Lasts, from your Sea Breeze series. Tell listeners a little bit about what it was like for you to receive that phone call that there was interest in one of your novels becoming a movie.
Well, it didn't go the way everything's supposed to go because my things never do. There was no phone call initially. That's not how this went down. Adam Bramick, who is in Australia, he's an actor that's located in Australia. A friend of his read While It Lasts and brought it to him and said, you need to read this book. This would be a great movie. And so he did. And then he took it to a producer and said the same thing. You need to read this book. This would be a great movie. And he did. And then they contacted me. That's how that all happened. They contacted me via my email first to even see if I was interested. And then my agent had to get involved. And that's when the phone calls and all that started happening then. But it, the guy that will be playing Cage York is, you know, who gets the credit for actually finding the book because it was put in his hands. It was something that I've actually had several movie options come across my plate before that I have said no to, simply because they're normally for Fallen Too Far. Everything is for that series. And they won't give me, unless it's an option where I know it's going to go to film, like this is an indie setup where I know that it's going to film versus when it just gets lost in Hollywood.
Right.
I wasn't willing to give that option up and lose control of my story because they can completely rewrite it for Hollywood.
Right.
And I'm not, I don't write movies, I write books. So I don't want my readers to go to a movie theater, watch my movie and be devastated that it's not the storyline. So I've turned down several different options because of this. And when these guys came to me, they're indie, and they agreed that I would have a say-so in the script and that, you know, my opinion mattered and that kind of thing, and they made me an associate producer and all that kind of stuff, that kind of sealed the deal for me and made me feel comfortable because if my book's too good at movies, I want it to be my story. I don't want it changed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of been a long process, but it's been a fun one, so I've enjoyed it.
Nice. Now, for those of you just tuning in, I am speaking with New York Times and USA Today bestselling author Abby Glines about her latest novel in the Rosemary Beach series, When I'm Gone. So, Abby, there are some very interesting facts about you on your website, and one that immediately caught my eye is you hide Tim Tams in your office desk that your Aussie readers send you and that you don't like to share. I go to RT Book Lovers Convention every year and first seriously became addicted to these things when an Australian author sitting next to me at the book fair had a whole box of them, and she just took them out and started snacking, and she, of course, I'm looking over like, ooh, that looks good. So she offered me some, and, you know, the rest is history. And so the moment I bit into that delicious treat, my life was forever changed. So do you have a favorite flavor that you like?
chewy caramel, hands down. But I don't eat them. I don't just like eat them that way. I have to have a cup of coffee where you nibble off each end and you drink it like the coffee through it, like it's a straw.
So it's a whole production.
Yes. And then it melts the Tim Tam and then you eat it all mushy and oh my God, that is amazing. But yeah. I have to walk. I have to run or walk an extra mile for every time I do that.
But it's worth it, isn't it? I mean, wow.
That is
delicious.
Those
things are really good.
Mm-hmm. I've tried. I thought peanut butter would become my favorite or red velvet, but chewy caramel has remained my very favorite from all of the flavors.
Oh, I haven't. I think I've only tried the chocolate, and then last year I discovered the white chocolate. So I definitely have to check the caramel out. And when I saw red velvet, I almost lost my mind. So I got to try that one,
too. I've had a lot of those, too. But I have to hide them in my desk because these teenagers eat them. And the teenagers eat all my food. So if I want to save anything, I have to just keep them in my office.
Isn't it amazing how they just find stuff? It's like, you hide something, and next thing you know, you're looking for it. I borrowed that. I hope you don't mind. Or I was hungry or something. I'm like, really?
Yes, and those are things I do not want to share, so I don't let them have me.
Now, you have what you describe as a daredevil husband. So tell us a little bit about that. Does he make it into any of your novels? And what's the wildest thing you've been drafted to do while on one of your adventures?
He doesn't make it into any of my novels. He is in for some of my male characters' personalities. Pieces of his personality I will put into a male character. Some of the things my male characters have said, mostly the funny things that people get a kick out of are things that actually came out of my husband's mouth. I do take some of his better lines and use them. He's not necessarily romantic, so that helps me none at all. So aren't ever put in there. But I do leave him out, his full personality and our personal life. Everyone wants to know, you know, that kind of thing. No, that is not added into the storyline. But I guess we've done so many crazy. Well, I've been married 18 years. Next week, actually Sunday. We'll have married 18 years on Sunday. We dated 3 years before that. So we've been together for a very, very long time. And I have done some insanely crazy things with this man. So I can't think of the wildest and craziest. I can think of the latest, okay, the newest. That's my best thing I got for you. This every November for Thanksgiving week, we go to the mountains, the Smoky Mountains in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, as a family, his family, my family. We each just have one sibling, so it's not like we have massive families. And we take the mountains with us, and we just spend the week together, and it's so much fun. Well, this year, I don't know why, but we were infested with black bears. Okay, they should be hibernating at this point because there's snow.
Right.
They're not. And we're seeing them all the time. And they were always outside, and we were always hiding from them in the house. And we'd run out to the car and check and make sure they were not there. Well, my husband is not scared of bears. You know, he thinks he can beat anything. So he wants a good picture of black bears. So he convinces me to go outside with him because there's a black bear at our garbage, mind you, that is only a few feet away from our front door. He wants me to go outside with him and take a picture while he gets the bear's attention so the bear's looking at the camera. Because he needs to get closer to the bear than he's going to allow me to get, but he needs me to get close enough so that the picture's good, because all we have is an iPhone, so it's not like we got a good up-close camera, right?
Right.
So I think that me standing outside on the porch, feet away from a black bear, trying to get a close-up picture while my crazy husband gets his attention is my latest insane thing he's had me doing. But, we've had some crazy times. Don't like heights. He got me in a helicopter when we were in Australia last March. I don't know if I'll ever do that again. And I don't do small planes, much less helicopters, so I was a basket case through the whole thing. But I did it. He always convinces me to do these things that I'm scared of.
Right.
So, anyway, that's the newest, not the scariest, I'm sure, but the newest.
Now, aside from Tim Tams and coffee, name one thing that you have to have while writing and why.
Oh, my gosh. Aside from coffee, because coffee is my... I have to have my beat. If I don't have my beat, I can't drown out everyone in this household. And if I can't drown them out,
gotcha.
I cannot write. I have an office. I close the door. But my daughter's bedroom is right above this office, and they are loud. And they are loud in the
right.
room. They're loud everywhere in this house. And if I can't get the beats on my ears and turn on some music,
mm-hmm.
I get absolutely nothing done. So I would say Tim Tams and coffee, the next thing that I have to have is beats. Definitely.
Now, what do you have in store for your readers next? Would that be the YA that's coming out in the fall?
Yes, and it's going to be Southern high school football games, Friday nights, heartbreak, tragedy, dark issues, and then moments that kind of stick with you forever, those things you don't forget. I didn't want to do a YA that was just cheesy, sweet, and easy. I wanted to have dark elements in it. And
mm-hmm.
this first book, there is a massive tragedy that happens to the main girl before the book even starts. That isn't something that most people will never have to endure. It's not a common type thing. And she's had
mm-hmm.
to go through it, and it's left her with a problem, something that, you know, she can't interact with the rest of the world properly because of it. So it's not an easy young adult teen romance, but it still has your field parties, back of the truck, hanging out, you know, on Friday nights at the bonfire, doing things you're not supposed to be doing as teenagers, you know, all those things, the angst, that kind of stuff in the high school, but then you still got the depth to it that, you know, that makes it a darker, harder to read type issues. So I'm excited about it. I feel like I took some of my new adult strong points and I pulled them into a
mm-hmm.
YA world, and I, you know, turned it more YA than new adult. And I'm excited about that whole transformation and how it's going to go over.
Awesome. I'd like to give listeners just a few seconds to learn a little bit more about some of your favorite things. So I don't want you to think too hard. This is just kind of boom, boom, boom. So ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Favorite dessert?
Chocolate cupcakes.
Favorite city?
New York, hands down.
Favorite
Love
season?
Fall.
Favorite type of hero?
I like the bad boy, definitely.
Yeah. Favorite food?
Favorite food would probably be sushi.
Oh, love sushi.
I could eat it 4 times a week.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Love
mm-hmm.
sushi. Your favorite band or solo singer?
Favorite band would probably be Little Big Town.
Cool. And before we run out of time, I want you to let listeners know how to get in touch with you.
Okay. Well, the best way to get in touch with me is through Facebook, Twitter, or you can email me at info@abbyglimes.com.
And do you have any upcoming events you'd like to let readers know about?
I have a lot of upcoming events, and I can't even begin to tell you what they are. So the best thing for them to do is to go to my website at abbyglimes.com, click on the events, and there's a list. I'm afraid to tell people dates and locations because
right.
I don't necessarily book all this myself, and I don't add it to the website. Somebody else does. So I just share that link.
Cool.
That's the best way for people to find out about what's going on with me next.
Cool. And do you have any sage advice that you ever received at some point in time during your writing career?
Yes. I can't remember their name. That's awful. And it was an older author I had spoken to before I really got going. And I remember talking
mm-hmm.
about, worrying about, was this book going to sell, or was the storyline overdone, or maybe it wasn't something that was acceptable. And she looked at me and she told me that if you love your story, write it. Someone else will love it too. And I think I've stuck with that. I write for
mm-hmm.
me. I write stories that I love, stories that entertain me, some story that
mm-hmm.
I want to read myself. And I know that when I'm done, someone else is going to enjoy it too. Everyone won't, and it's not for everyone. But because I love
right.
it, someone else's taste is going to be the same as mine, and they're going to enjoy it too. But first and foremost, I do write for myself, and I think all writers need to do that. If you go into it trying to please the crowd or what's selling, you're not ever going to hit the mark, not what you're supposed to do. I don't think it has the depth in it it needs.
Awesome. Well, Abby, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been such a pleasure having you.
Thank you. I've had a blast. It's been fun.
And I'd like to thank our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio. Don't forget, you can find us at www.readersentertainment.com. You can stop by and leave a comment about tonight's show. We'd love to hear from you, or you can check out Abby's recap blog or the podcast. So I am your host, Lisa Watson, saying be inspired and happy reading. Good night, Abby.
Good night.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.